why should a resilience manager or even a crisis manager who has already 100 hours of overtime working around the clock, dealing with all the challenges that faced with, why should they read a risk report?
Welcome to In Case of Emergency, your podcast about insights into crisis management and emergency notifications. Your podcast source related to business continuity, emergency response, public alerting, and much more. We believe that sharing information, learnings, insights, and best practices is so important, which is why we're very happy to present this podcast to you. My name is John Davison, and I will be your host for this podcast series, In Case of Emergency.
Hello, listeners. It's time again for our special podcast episode. And once again, I'm joined by Marcus Ebner today for a very interesting podcast episode. Marcus and his team have analyzed the risk reports for 2024. And today we will all discuss the outcome of this analysis and if there are some topics we should know about as a crisis manager or perhaps a resilience manager. Hello and welcome, Marcus.
Yeah. Hi, John. What you didn't mention was why we did this. We did this because quite a lot of managers think these reports are just copied and pasted or a marketing tool for consultancies, and it is not worthwhile reading them. When I heard this argument the first time, I thought it might be interesting to understand how these companies are producing these reports, and I was really impressed by the academic effort and the methods they use to produce these reports. And since then, the risk reports have been part of my annual reading. And I must admit that I no longer read them all and often only read parts of them or the management summary. But of course, that also has to do with the fact that I now have a team that analyzes these reports for me and present me with the highlights. And at that point, I want to take the opportunity and say thank you, Cedric, because he has done this year a really great job in analyzing these reports.
Well, yeah, totally agree, Marcus. I've listened to some of those information feedbacks from Cedric and he's done a fantastic job. But that all well and good, but why should a resilience manager or even a crisis manager who has already 100 hours of overtime working around the clock, dealing with all the challenges that faced with, why should they read a risk report or even several risk reports?
Yeah, so my first argument would come with my job. So as a head of academy, our motto is let's share knowledge. And that's what I think is a quite important one. And the second argument is also related to my job. Some risks you can only manage when you have a proper network. Both will be encouraged when you read these kind of risk reports. So for managers engaging with these reports, it is an opportunity for continuous learning and professional development that improves their strategic thinking and risk management leadership skills. But there are much more advantages, and I just want to mention a few. The report offers you a much broader perspective and bigger picture that provide foresights on emerging risks and trends. Some call it early warning. The risk reports supports a more effective decision-making processes. Next one is benchmarking of risks, but you also can justify resources because they provide concrete data and scenarios that can be used to justify the allocation of resources toward risk management and resilience building. I think we can stop here, and I don't need to mention regulatory compliance or competitive advantage. So summa summarum, I don't know. Do you say in English summa summarum? Is that a German Latin phrase?
I think it's a German Latin phrase, to be honest, Mark. It's not something I come across too much in day-to-day English.
Okay, so what I mean is I want to sum up. So despite the overtime required that you mentioned, the insights from the risk reports are definitely crucial. They provide resilience and crisis managers with, for sure, essential knowledge to navigate in the complex world that even gets more complex and making organizations more prepared and resilient for the challenges ahead. And that there are challenges ahead, that's for sure.
Yeah. So diving deeper into today's hot topic, Marcus, I'm curious, we've shifted through a mountain of pages. Which risk reports have you been poring over and why these ones in particular?
We've tackled four heavyweight champions of the risk analysis. So the Allianz Risk Barometer, it is, they review more than 3,000 experts, the KPMG key risk areas. And then a special one, it's about the internal auditor's report, the ECIIA report, and of course, one of the biggest, the World Economic Forum risk report.
Okay, that's quite a spread, but why these particular reports? What makes them stand out from all the others that are out there in a sea of publications?
So each of these reports is like a key to a different door. They open up perspective from global trends to niche industry risks, broadening our view beyond the immediate horizon. So it's the one is the big picture and the other ones are going deep in some processes. So that's the nice one.
Okay, so broadening our view. So like a report, risk report summarize, swirling the glass to taste the full bouquet of global uncertainty.
Yeah, exactly. Expect the bouquet here is less about oaky undertones and more about getting a whiff of emerging market risks and strategic shifts like the one highlighted by the Allianz Barometer or KPMG. And on the other hand, dives deep into the end of both strategic and operational risks.
And the others, how do they complement this risk-flavored vintage?
So, yeah, let's look at the internal auditor's report. Focus is on the internal mechanics crucial for auditing, while the World Economic Forum serves as the big picture global challenges. It's about connecting the dots between what's brewing internally and what's looming externally.
But with everyone already so busy, is it worth the extra time to dig through all of this information, Marcus?
From my point of view, absolutely. It's like a workout for your strategic muscles. By examining these reports side by side, we're not just reacting to the world's woes, we are anticipating them, preparing our organization to be proactive, not just reactive.
Essentially, these reports arm us and let's say the intellectual gym equipment to handle the heavy lifting of tomorrow's challenges.
That's right, John. They help us flex our decision-making skills and fortify our organization's resilience.
And speaking of heavy lifting, I suppose after digesting all these reports, the only risk we're not prepared for is the paper cut.
Well, in the digital age, even that becomes a rare
hazard. Oh, so now let's talk about your findings, Marcus. After hundreds of pages, what would you say are the risks we should be aware of today?
So I would like to mention a few of them. And what is very clear, so we have the cyber incidents with something like 265 billions a year. We have the regulatory adjustments, the ESG challenges, macroeconomic developments, data protection, natural disasters, also the whole climate change disaster because we didn't tackle it, business disruption, resilience, and finally, the overall geopolitical tensions we've never had like this before.
Yeah, some pretty tough, significant challenges out there, some real difficult ones to overcome. What do you think? Do you think we should focus on one particular topic in particular?
In 2024, companies worldwide will be definitely confronted with a very broad spectrum of risks, characterized by both obvious risks, such as cybercrime, and less predictable risks, such as regulatory adjustments, or something like we have seen with some tension that coming up without no alerts before. And cybersecurity and personal data protection will take center stage, as will the importance of talent management, climate change adaptation, supply chain risks, and the need for a flexible, holistic risk management strategy. These findings emphasize the importance of preparedness, adaptability, and cross-sector collaboration in risk management. That will be definitely crucial. And I mean, it's the collaboration of risk management, crisis management, and business continuity you need to implement, because at a certain time, not only one risk will hit you, there will be more.
Yeah. So ultimately, you're telling me that we're heading even further towards the perma-crisis. Is that right?
Yeah, not necessarily everyone, but I will see that way to some resilience manager or larger companies. However, I believe that many listeners are still wondering what these megatrends, such as global interconnectedness, have to do with their company in a little city or village anywhere. I would like to explain this using the example of the terror attack against Israel.
Okay. Well, I'm curious to see how you can do that.
So I think it's important to realize that there are always three levels in these geopolitical topics. So it's number one, the past in order to learn from, the present to make decisions, and a future to look ahead. And if we remember, on the 7th October of 23, so the terrorists from the Hamas crossed the border into Israel and murdered 1,200 people and took 240 people hostages, and it was the beginning of the Israel-Palestine conflict. As a result, the alternative route via the Cape of Good Hope had to be taken, and delivers delayed by more than 3 weeks. So the Allies intervened and American soldiers died in Yemen. But the supply chain to Europe was completely disrupted. And now I dive to a small village called Grünheide. This is the location of the Tesla Gigafactory in Germany. And they had to close temporarily on the 24th of January due to the supply chain problems caused because the ships have to use the alternate route via the Cape of Good Hope. And then in America, the Tesla crisis team meets in Houston. So this is from a terror attack on the Israeli border via Iran, via Qatar to Yemen, to the Red Sea, from the Red Sea to the Cape of Good Hope, to Europe, to a little town called Grünheide in Germany, and then to the crisis management team in Houston. So this is global interconnectedness at its best.
Okay.
And maybe just one more. So that is just one example of the current trends. And we have still much more. So we have a negotiation for a new monetary union between Russia, China, Brazil, and India. We have Russia wagging on ongoing war of aggression against Ukraine. We have Russia's activity to destabilize governments in Central Africa because of the raw materials we found in Central Africa. And we have cyber attacks against the US elections, against the EU elections. All this is happening at the same time. And maybe you as a crisis manager have to prepare for one of these topics.
Yeah, great example. So from the border fence in the Israeli desert across Yemen to the Red Sea to the Cape of Good Hope to a small village by, what was the name?
Grünheide.
Oh, Grünheide. Yeah. Did I pronounce that correctly? Grünheide.
Isn't it amazing, yeah, to have such an example that is really phenomenal from a border somewhere in the desert between Israel and Palestine, down to Houston, that is.
Yeah, that's a really impressive example of how regional conflict can have an impact on global impacts, should I say. And we've got quite a few regions involved in that example. So we've had the Chinese spy satellites over Taiwan. And then, of course, in Argentina, we're currently experiencing, or there's experiencing inflation of around 250%.
Yeah. And I still can remember when, so maybe some listeners don't know that, when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990, the U.S. Army War College coined the term of VUCA. And now we see very clearly what the term means. And I'm really fascinated that some crisis managers think that is a new term. This term is more than 30 years old.
The podcast, In Case of Emergency, Insights into Extensive Crisis Management, is hosted by F24, Europe's leading software as a service provider for incident and crisis management, as well as business messaging. If you have topics or questions that you'd like to have answered, or if you would like to share your experience as a guest on the podcast, then just let us know. Write us your suggestions for future topics and please include your contact details by emailing us at marketing@f24.com. Thank you for listening and goodbye until next time.